to our reading. It's Luke 5, verse 12. We'll give you plenty of time to look for it. Luke 5, verse 12 to 16. And when you've found that, I'd love if a volunteer would come up and just read those two verses. Read the word. Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Luke 5, verse 12 to 16.
While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, can you make me clean?" Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed. So let's pray a minute and then we'll just consider that. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word so beautifully read to us, Lord. And I just thank you for the power of it. And we just pray, Lord, as we consider what Jesus did and how he touched people. Lord, the heading I was given is touching the untouchable. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to see how we too can touch the untouchable for Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you. I just pray you bless us by your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to talk about our hands today, actually. And I don't know what you think about sermons, but sometimes when you get the following Monday and you're busy, you think, what was the preacher go on about? What did he talk about on Sunday? And it's sometimes hard to think. So I thought I'd give it as a visual aid. So, you can join in or not, it's up to you. That's our first hand signal. What do you think that means? Yeah, well, that's an easy one, obviously. Then the second one is this. It's my 3-point sermon, you see. The second one is this. That could be anything, see, so. Could be receiving, that's quite good, yeah. Could be giving, couldn't it? So I'm looking at is offering, but it's the same sort of theme. So the first one's prayer, the second one, and the third one is this. Blessing was the word. Yeah, healing, blessing. So three simple hand signals is leading us on our work. So we've got prayer, we've got offering, we've got blessing. Our hands are very important. They've got all our fingers and everything. Just think what we can do with them. We can play a musical instrument, for some of us. We can arrange flowers. We can paint. Just think all the things we do with our fingers. Aren't they amazing? Aren't our hands amazing? It's God given us. And, you know, what I'm thinking about today is this story, and I'm going to come back to the story, but I'm going to start at the end and go backwards, if you like. See, what I'm wondering is, it says in verse 6, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And one of the things I've always wondered is, well, why did Jesus need to go so often to pray in quiet places? And you might think, well, that's easy, but Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus came on earth and he was perfect man, he was perfect God. Yet he often went to those quiet places and prayed. And I often wonder, well, why? And I just thought of a few things, really. So I thought about one of the things, the reason he withdrew to quiet places is to keep up that relationship with his father. I thought that's a great start. So when his father was in heaven and Jesus was on earth, and I just wonder also, you know, before he started his ministry, in the years that we know nothing about, I just wonder whether Jesus used to go to lonely places then and pray. Perhaps he did, perhaps he didn't. We don't know, do we? But it's something to do with relationship. And I think that quiet place, and we had a little bit of quiet here today, I often think churches are great, but sometimes churches are so busy that you don't get a minute's quiet in an hour's service. And that's just the way it is. It's all planned out. But it's just nice to have a minute's quiet that we can just reflect on what we've just prayed and just listen to God's still small voice. So I think the first thing is about his relationship with his father. Then it's for direction. And of course we can link this to ourselves. This is the whole point really. It's direction. Where was Jesus going to go? The people flocked around him. But where did his father want him to go the following day? Because you see, I don't think it was by accident that these people come along to Jesus and were healed. There were plenty of people who ignored Jesus completely. There were plenty of people who didn't ask Jesus to be healed. So why was it the ones that we read about in the Bible, why did they just come at that point? So I think it's something to do with the direction that Jesus was given when he went to that quiet place. For guidance, overall guidance, not just direction, but guidance. What do you want me to say today? What story do you want me to say, Father? Jesus might ask. What parable do you want me to say today? Where is Jesus? See, I think this all links in with everything that happens to Jesus in his ministry. Perhaps Jesus prayed, give me compassion for the poor. There's something called compassion fatigue. You know what I mean by that? You see things so often on the telly that you become blasé to it. Because you've seen it for years and years and years. Nothing seems to change. And we have compassion fatigue. Well, perhaps Jesus got that too at times. And perhaps he needed to ask his father to give him the compassion for people that he would meet that day. Also, the power to heal and to bless, really. Jesus was Jesus, but he didn't use his power every minute of every day. It was used in precise circumstances, and it was used, as I said, for those people. So I just think that Jesus was asking for these things. And what about us? What about our relationship with God? What is it based on? I struggle with my quiet times like perhaps some of you do. Some of you find it easier. Some find it difficult to pray, to read the Bible. What about direction, about where God wants us? Not just tomorrow, but in our daily lives, or in the next 5 years, say. What about guidance? What he wants us to do, what he wants us to say on a certain occasion? What about compassion for the people we meet? I really don't know the answer to the homeless, but I go past an alleyway in Barnstable to work, and I was on the way home and went past this. Somebody was sitting down and he spoke to me, and I came back because I'd forgotten the letter, and I went past again and he said, have you got any change? And I said, no, I haven't got. He said, well, can you just give me your apple core then? He made a little joke, and I smiled because I was eating an apple at the time. But what should I don't know what my response should be. So what should it be? It seems such a, whether my little bit would make a difference. So perhaps, you know, I need to pray for more compassion in that quiet place. And what about the power to heal and to bless? We're talking about hands today. You know, the power of touch is very, very important. And I got prayed for in there. Just the hands laid on my shoulder and prayed for. It's just so important. And sometimes when it's appropriate, just put a hand on somebody's shoulder. And if it's appropriate, praying with them. It can make such a difference. So the challenge for me is to realize my potential if I take prayer seriously in the days and weeks to follow. But what about your potentials? And I just wonder, I just feel that Jesus went to these quiet places to pray for those sorts of reasons. And that's why these things happened in Jesus' life. It wasn't just because he was the Son of God. It was because he had that relationship with his Father and all these things happened. Does that make sense at all? So the challenge for me is to realize my potential in Christ and to take prayer more seriously. So that was the first one, which was the hands of prayer. That was the easy one to recognize. So the other one, it was this really, and I say it could have been anything, could have been given. I said it was hands of offering. And if I do that at any time really, but in church, what I mean is I'm offering myself up for God to use. And I'm going to a different passage of scripture now. If you want to turn to this, Luke 22. I'll come back to another one in a minute, but Luke 22, verse 41. Because I know many of you like to follow it. Jesus on the Mount of Olives. Hands of offering. Luke 22, verse 41. Following. Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Sorry. So Jesus praying, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, the cup of suffering." But then he offers himself up, doesn't he? This is the prayer of offering. And yet not my will but yours be done. So in his prayers of anguish in coming to God, and we can come to God at any time in our lives, he's offering himself up and saying, "Your will, not my will." And that's because he had that relationship with his Father. And I've not really taken note of it before, but what happens afterwards, straight after the prayer? Pardon? Says, I just hadn't really taken a look. It says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Well, what a hope that. So, when we're in our direst straits, our darkest hour, if we follow Jesus' example and just offer ourselves up to him, it could be that God will send an angel to strengthen us. Because angels are still there, and they come and help us. So in his hour of need, Jesus offered himself up. There was an angel sent, and he was strengthened so that he could go on to the cross. And of course, his disciples, by contrast, had fallen asleep in their prayers. Perhaps as Christians in this country, perhaps we have fallen asleep a little bit, and perhaps we have forgotten the power of prayer. I don't know. Perhaps we have. But going to that quiet place of prayer and realizing our potential is just so, it sets us up for the week ahead and for the day ahead. It's the most difficult thing too in the mornings. We are told to pray in the mornings. Now, I am not a morning person. And one of my sons gets up at 5 to go to work at McDonald's. And if I've got to get up to use the loo or anything, he's whistling and singing in the mornings. I'm like, do that. It's just, but he's up and chirpy and ready to go to work, and he's quite happy. I mean, I should be pleased for him, really, but I'm an old grump in the mornings, and that's the truth. I just like the quiet, a cup of coffee, a little bit of talk sport. But you see, praying in the mornings, but it does make a difference. I mean, of course, I can pray in the evenings, and that can set me up for the day ahead. But we need to be realistic about when we can pray and when we are our best. When Jesus went to a quiet place to pray, there was a sense that he was offering himself offering himself up on that particular day to do the Father's will. So it's no surprise that Jesus gave us that pattern of going to pray. He was offering himself up for that particular occasion. In other words, saying, Father, please use me today. Well, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, and it's good enough for us. Jesus prays on the Mount of Olives, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Offering himself to serve his Father in heaven. The fact that Jesus freely offered himself to die on the cross for our sins has affected billions of people over the years. When you think of how many millions there are actually who are Christians. The fact that Jesus offered himself that day affected the man that we're going to look at with leprosy. So we might not be able to affect millions of people, but we can affect one person that we meet on the day. And any one of us can do that. We might meet them at the post office, we might meet them on the bus. But if we've offered ourselves up to God for that week or that day, we might have the chance to bless them, which is my third point, really. So Jesus offered himself that day, that affected that one man with leprosy. What can happen to us if we offer ourselves to God? If we have our hands of offering out to God and saying, here I am, use me. I wonder who we can bless. So our song at the end says, I will go, Lord, if you lead me. That's the chorus. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. But we've got to be able to be offered first. We've got to offer to be led. Can I put it another way then? Who does God want to bless through you and me this week? That's an easier way of thinking about it. Who does God want to bless through our conversation, perhaps even through a word of prayer? I've been able to actually say I'll pray for a friend of mine. Her husband's got a horrible cancer in his 40s and a horrible growth, and they're going up to every day. But I've been able to say, I have prayed for you in my group, not by name, confidentiality, but just prayed. And she said, thank you for praying for us. So just a little blessing in prayer to be able to say that, look, I'm going to pray for you. And she knows I'm praying for her and her husband as he goes up to radiotherapy each day. So back to our previous verses. So hands of blessing. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So can you see that that's not just coincidence, bearing in mind what I've just said? He's come and thrown himself at Jesus' feet. He could have done 100 other things that day. Could have gone a different route. I just believe that he came to Jesus because of Jesus was willing to be used. Because he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And of course, perhaps he didn't realize the significance of the cleanliness thing. We're not just talking about the skin condition, that he had to go to the temple and prove that he was clean, but of course, Jesus offered a different kind of cleansing, doesn't it? The inner cleansing. And I believe Jesus does both at the same time for this man. So Jesus reached out his hand, touched touched the man, we're talking about touching the untouchable today, and said, what did he say? What did he say? I am willing. I am willing. Be clean. So can you see the sense of offering there, that Jesus was willing? Can you see the sense that Jesus was in the right place at the right time? Jesus had been in his Father's presence. He knew what his Father would want him to do and say. That's why all these things aren't just coincidence. They're planned. But Jesus had to be ready. And immediately the leprosy left. So what I'm suggesting is that Jesus, I know it's after we read that he goes into the quiet place after the reading, but I'm suggesting that the last time Jesus went in his quiet place, he was ready to be used by God. I believe that Jesus each day offered himself to serve his Father on the earth, even to the point of death on the cross. I believe that there is a direct correlation between Jesus spending time with his Father in a relationship, time in prayer, and of Jesus offering himself and all these people that came before Jesus. There's a direct correlation between the two. And that it was no coincidence that Jesus was able to bless the man and heal him of his leprosy, because God the Father had it planned. So Jesus reached out his hand. This is the hand of blessing. And I just say that I know that you might find it uncomfortable to sometimes pray with people. But it's not just about that we can use our hands for, is it? We can use our hands to get somebody a cup of tea. We can use our hands to buy the homeless person a pasty. One of my friends in the house group bought this. He just felt God telling him, go and buy this homeless person a pasty. And he bought him a pasty, and he opened up his coat, and he had two pasties in there. So that was the third one. There were other people who had the same thought. But he had that thought from God to go and do it. So are we willing? Are we willing, first of all, to take prayer seriously? Are we willing to offer ourselves to God? Are we willing to touch the untouched? Because sometimes just a touch on the shoulder to perhaps people we know more, just that touch just makes a huge, huge difference to people, knowing that they're just being cared for. The touch is very, very important. It's a big thing to be able to do. So conclusion. So all you've got to think about this message is the three. That's hands of all of you haven't remembered it already. Half of you have forgotten. I can't believe it. Hands of, thank you. Hands of, and hands of, well, I thought you'd forgotten. That was, but you haven't. That's good. You were a bit reticent there, I think. So let us use our hands this week, in the coming week, to do God's will and to bless others. Shall we just pray and then we'll sing our final hymn? Thank you. Lord, we've all got hands and we've all got hearts, but Lord, it's what we do with them. And I just pray, Lord, that you would encourage each one of us just to seek your face, Lord, whenever it's convenient for us, to ask you what you'd have us do, to offer up our hands in prayer, to offer ourselves, Lord, to do your will during the next week, and to be willing, Lord, to offer our hands to help others, whatever way that might be. It might be to lay our hands on their shoulder and pray with them, Lord. It might be to bring them a cup of tea. But the main thing is, Lord, it might be to bless somebody, Lord, in another way. Lord, I pray that we would be prepared to offer and we would be willing, like Jesus was, to touch the untouchable. And we just ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So the last song I picked is a challenge to us, I, the Lord of Seeing Sky. It's a challenge that when God calls us in the night, are we willing to to respond. So let's sing that, and then we'll finish with a blessing. Thank you.